Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017,
it's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yes, hello, buddy, and welcome to the show. Very special show coming to you today from Pepper Stadium, ahead of a huge game of rugby league. The Panthers taking on the Titans at 3 o'clock. You'll hear it here. We are, in fact, outside of Pepper Stadium. Ryan Girdler is a life member of the Panthers. We call this entrance the Australia Hog Steakhouse entrance. Is that where we're at?
I think we call it the Paceway entrance. There's the Paceway across the road there, and well, here we are.
Come drop down before you go into the game. Come and say hello. Del is bang up for any selfie that you're interested in.
He loves the fans.
I've got a massive head, so I'll be at the back. But I've got to say,
if they can recognise him,
Gertz, I've got to say, mate, your skin is looking beautiful.
Thank you, Wendell.
Just back from Port Douglas. How good was it up there?
Yeah, it was good. 5 days up in Port Douglas. Took 3 Germans up there. They all came back, so no one was eaten by a crocodile, which is rare.
Yeah. Home of the Origin champs.
Those Uktung signs are working well. So no, it was a good. It was a good couple of days out there. Nice to be back, Wendell. You're looking pretty fresh as well.
Thank you, mate. I feel very fresh.
And happy birthday too for last week.
Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that.
I sent Del a text on his birthday, just saying happy birthday, big fella. A little bunch of flowers, I think, was in the text, emoji style. I got no response whatsoever. I've been worried sick. I thought, well, what's the story? Did he not get it? Is there some issue between us? Why wouldn't you send a reply text to somebody who's sent you best wishes on your birthday?
You know what happened? I've got to be honest. Mm-hmm. I got that many texts for my birthday.
Did you?
That all my text messages all dropped off my inbox.
Really?
Yeah, they did. So it's all, so every number that I had and stuff, it's just all dropped out of there. So yeah. So.
What do you expect out of that, Tony? I mean, you sent him a message. You've done your job. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't about you getting a reply. It was about you wishing Wendell a happy birthday. So what are you after? Yeah.
No. I want positive affirmation. Absolutely. I want feedback.
You're not the best at that, though, Tony.
At feedback.
You're not great at returning text messages.
Yeah, you're not. You're right.
You can let one hang. You can let one hang for a while.
Yeah, but I'm higher in the pecking order than other
people.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Here comes the elitist.
There you go.
It's good to be here.
Talking about elitist. Hoops,
what are you up to, mate?
What's happening, boys? How good is it? Out in the heart of rugby league, out in the Golden West. This is your old stomping ground. Kurtz.
Yeah.
Have you been over to Panthers already?
I actually had breakfast with the Gowers this morning, and all the family are going to come and watch the game after this. So, yeah, looking forward to a day out in the West.
Well, I mean, the girls are coming, your kids?
The girls are here, yeah, first game. Really? They've always wanted to go to a game of footy, but I said I'd never take them to a Manly game. So waited for the right opportunity. They're at the good age now, so they're going to come watch today's game.
Gowie got? Like boys.
He's got
girls?
Two girls, and they're pretty similar to mine. And he's eldest to my eldest, best friends. They go to school together. So.
This is women in league round. Yeah. So it's a perfect opportunity.
The girls are coming down.
The girls along. And
he deserved 2 girls too, Craig. But no offense to all the women out there, of course.
Because he's a very, very good man.
Yeah, you got it.
For those of us who had 2 girls or 3 girls, it is a great thing.
Yeah.
And are you going to, have you already, when you sit down the couch watching, explain the game that you played? Have they ever seen tapes of you in action, Gerds?
Oh, once a week.
Is that a lot of advice?
I've got no idea, to be honest, but it'll be a real experience for him today.
And Wendell, I understand you've got a function this evening. What's happening?
Yeah, look, mate, sometimes you've got to do things. I've been on the road, as I do, spreading the love of rugby league and stuff. And I only got home sort of this morning.
Where have you been this time?
Where have you been spreading the love of rugby league?
I did the Thursday night call up there at Brisbane, the Bulldogs and the Broncos. And then I went to Bundaberg to do a talk for mental health. So 200 blokes, and it's called the Old Tools Luncheon. So no bigger tool than me. So I went up there, and it was pretty good.
Yep.
And this morning I flew in, and then tonight, look, I'm very happy. So my son's girlfriend, Daisy, it's her 18th birthday, and actually her and her twin, Amy. So I've got to go on an 18th birthday party tonight after I finish my 6.5 hour stint here.
If I sent her a message saying happy birthday, would I get one back in response?
Probably
you
would,
just get back creep.
but look, I said to my wife, I said, look, why don't you guys just go? Because I'd like to go, but I'm going to take one for the team tonight, so I'll go for a couple of hours. And, I haven't been on an 18th birthday party in that long.
Some great things to look forward to today. Certainly in that game of footy, Nathan Cleary had an amazing game last weekend. He comes up against Ash Taylor. We're going to look at that. Trent Merrin is going to drop in and join us at any minute as well. We'll have a chat with him. There's a couple of other issues we need to get to. New South Wales and State of Origin, it just keeps hanging around. We are at Penrith. Gus Gould has said he doesn't want Penrith players involved with New South Wales at the moment, given the culture. I find that ridiculous. We'll find out what Trent Merrin has to think about that in a moment. Plus, Matty John just said, and once more, this is something I want you to just put your thinking caps on and maybe respond to during the course of the 3 hours we get to share with you. Matty Johns reckons you don't pay them. You gather your New South Wales players together and you say, okay, you're in a room, you get paid nothing, but if you win, you get $40,000. Now, at the moment, they get $30,000.
I'm out.
I'm absolutely out. Is this the way forward?
No.
No, I don't think so. Look, there's so much to get our teeth into across the 3 hours. If you are coming down to this game of footy, come a bit early, come drop in and say good day. It's Saturday Triple M NRL. Thanks so much for the OB to Coates Hire, who are helping us out as well. And, of course, to the great people of Bryden's Lawyers. I'm just rocking the footy for you on a Saturday afternoon. We are outside Pepper Stadium. The Panthers taking on the Titans from 3 o'clock. You'll hear it right here. Sadly for Panthers fans, one man who won't be trudging his way onto the field is Trent Merrin. He is injured, but he joins us right here, right now, which is a great pleasure for us. G'day, buddy. I'm well. Talk me through, obviously, the knee, the leg. How are you going at the moment?
I don't think he's mic's on at this point.
No, yeah. Just
we only had half an hour to get it prepared. It's all good, boys.
Here we go. I'll turn you on, mate.
No, he's still not on.
Just jump on Adele's microphone there for a moment. Yeah.
I don't think Del likes Sharon, but
he doesn't.
It was a bit dusty throughout the year. I think it was about a grade one throughout the whole year, and copped a bit of a whack there by two of us, a Sheck, and got up a bit dusty. So the staff didn't want to really risk it, went off the field and assessed it, and it's a high grade too, so they reckon about 5 to 6 weeks.
How are you in terms of being on the sideline, rehabilitating?
Yeah, it's always tough. Obviously, you want to be out there with the boys and try and get some wins under our belt heading into the semis. It's the business part of the year now, so it'd be great to be out there with them. But in saying that, you learn a bit more about the game on the sidelines. I think you can take a different aspect of rugby league, just sitting back and helping nurture the young players that we have at the club coming through. So I'm taking on a different role now for the next 5 to 6 weeks. And, I'm looking forward to it. I see the positive in it, and gives me time to focus on myself.
Hey, Mez, I've seen you come through the 20s yourself, but have you ever seen the young blokes, such as like Nathan Cleary, so confident in a key position? Watching, obviously the Panthers last week, Matt Morlan ruled out late, but for a young bloke to take on the Warriors, as you know, a very physical side, and to come up not just with, tries and that, try assists, but the game management, he plays well above his years, doesn't he?
Yeah, he most definitely does. He's a class of his own. I think the first year I come to the club, I kept my eyes out on Nath. Obviously, he's Ivan's son, and his name's already up there, but you can't tell with his character. He's a real humble kid. He's really willing to learn and listen, and he's one of the hardest workers in the team. He's always out in the field an hour after we finish training, and the way he holds himself in the community as well, he loves getting amongst it and giving back to the community, shaking hands, signing autographs. He's a really class of his own, and he's going to be something special in the future.
Mez, it's obviously a time of year now. You guys are pushing hard for the finals, but you found yourself in a position that you probably didn't expect to be in based on, I think everyone was surprised coming off what was a great season last year going into this season. I suppose this question's inevitable, but it's been disappointing to the part where when you've come up against sides that are above you on the table, you've been able to play good in patches, but you haven't been able to put those same performances in like the ones that you're putting together last year. What do you think it is this year? What's been the difference? Has it been expectation? I mean, I guess it's everyone wants to know the answer. There mightn't be one answer, but in your eyes, I mean, what's been the difference between this year and last year?
Yeah, obviously at the start of the year, the expectation was very high. And sometimes I can get under a group of men and you can buy into it in some ways, but I don't feel that we did too much, but yeah, what you said, I think our biggest competition is ourselves at the moment. I think we can win games when we want to win them, and we can lose them when we want to lose them. I think our biggest challenge is consistency at the moment. I think when we do come up against the good teams, we can really give it a good crack. But like I said, our biggest threat is ourselves at the moment, and once we realise that we can control that, and just stay in control of the game and hold field position. I think that's our biggest thing is holding the ball and being willing to just stay in control and grind teams down and get on top of them.
And is that the message? Because I've seen you guys get yourselves in a position so many times this year to go on and win the game, but, you know, the back end of the sets, completion rates then start to sort of fall away, and when the pressure's applied, it looks like you've got that big play mentality where you're not willing just to back yourself for 80 minutes and sort of, you know, grind out a win. You sort of want to get it done and dusted, and you want to go on and put some points on the board. Is that something that, you know, Hooks addressed through the back end of the season? Is that something, obviously, Brandy Alexander's been brought in to help the kickers? It seems like a part of the game, though, that you guys just haven't got together.
Yeah, it is, and it's something that we've been working on all year. It's something that we have assessed throughout the start of the year and all the way into now. And like you said, it is about having that confidence in ourselves to back our defence and grind teams down. I think what everyone says, we are a talented team or a young team, and we can score points when we want to score points. It's about containing that and injecting it into the game when we really need to, and just back ourselves.
Trent, you talked about one of the biggest challenges at the moment is actually beating yourselves. So today, do you feel as though you can go on a run? You're up against the Titans. You're both competing to try and remain in the hunt for the finals. Last year, we saw you go on a great run. Is there still a belief amongst the group that if you can string some wins together, you can make a run into the finals?
Yeah, I don't think belief's our problem at the moment. I think it's just about taking one job at a team, one job at a time, and one team at a time. I think everyone says, "Oh, we're getting on a roll," or "We can get on a roll." It's not about talking. I think our biggest thing is our actions. I think that's the biggest thing that we're buying into. We're focusing on the Gold Coast, which is today, and that's our job at hand. I think we're not worried about going on rolls or looking in deep into the finals yet. I think our main job is today and getting the job done against a quality Gold Coast team who have come good the last few weeks.
You can see the boy, look, he's in Penrith, living in Penrith. He's right in. It's a beautiful day in Penrith, don't get me wrong. But is it T-shirt and shorts wear?
Unbelievable.
What's going on?
Mate, I've been training in 2-degree weather, so you get acclimatised to it. I'm used to it now, so it's great. It's a beautiful day in Penrith.
It's women in the league round, of course, as well. We know your story. Your dad was involved a lot. I know you wore the kind of plastic bags and so on when you were a kid running around the block. Just talk us through your attitude to this weekend and this round.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most special games of the year to give back to the women in our lives. They sacrifice so much for us, and especially rugby league players. You got the women working in canteens, driving their kids to and from training, to and from games. They sacrifice so much for us, and my biggest idol is my parents, obviously, and I love my mum to death, and I obviously wouldn't be here without her, and I'm a bit filthy that I can't be out there this weekend and be able to play for her. But I know all 17 in both teams tonight will be doing their absolute best for the gorgeous women in their lives and giving a bit back to them.
Maz, we talk about women in league round, and obviously tomorrow New South Wales play Queensland. I think Queensland had a dominance there for a while. New South Wales won last year. It's down to Wollongong tomorrow. So for you, mate, you must be looking forward to watching the girls. They've come a long way too. When we talk about women in league round, we talk about the girls in and around the game, our wives and, you know, that stuff, and our mums. But also, the women have come so far too, like the Jillaroos and New South Wales and Queensland.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm so excited that the women's game in rugby league is growing every year. I'm right behind it, and I want to do as much as I possibly can to build it up to a level where it should be at. And it's going to be a cracker. Watching the All-Stars games, the test games that they play in, they're one of the games to watch. And they go out there and they hold nothing back. They go for it, and that's what you get in Origin too. So
yeah,
so tomorrow's just going to be a cracker to watch. And I'd love to be able to get out there. Hopefully Hook gives me the day off. It'd be great.
Have you seen Kezzy Apps play? She's an absolute gun.
I have. I've seen a few of the women play, and they're standouts. And the talent's just getting better and better as the years go on. And it starts at junior roots too. I think that's where it all comes together. And as the years go on, that's where it's going to be at. And the more girls that we can get into the game at such a young age at grassroots level, it's just going to be better and better for the game as the years go on.
We're going to chat with Sam Bremner, of course, who does play for New South Wales and the Jillaroos. We'll catch up with her very, very shortly. Stick around. We've got Trent Merrin with us for a little bit more of a chat about what's going on here in New South Wales and various other things. This is, of course, Saturday Triple M NRO. We are doing it from Bryden's Lawyers.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
with Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
Stella will join us at 2:30 ahead of kickoff, 3 o'clock. We are at Pepper Stadium. Big thanks to Coates Hire for helping us out here. Trent Merrin joins us right here, right now. Sadly, won't be playing in the game this afternoon, but good enough to share some time with us. Just getting away from club footy and talking about Origin. You weren't there this time around. There's a couple of issues I wanted to chat with you. And
well, he was there because he was in camp a couple of times. So
that's true.
He's in amongst it.
That's true.
He didn't play, but...
Is the camp camps too long? That's one of the things that's going to be investigated.
Oh, I think they have to be honest. I think it's probably the biggest series that everyone looks forward to throughout the year. And you need to bring, obviously all the players are from different clubs and you bring them in together, you need to spend a bit of time together. So, and to build, obviously the culture's been built, it's just to continue that and get together and spend a bit of time together before a big game.
Are you concerned how easily New South Wales people fall out of love with their State of Origin team? It's so bizarre, isn't it? We love them for the game one. We fell out of love just after halftime of game two. Whereas Queensland sort of have a long-term relationship. We kind of have a Tinder relationship.
Don't kid yourself.
We pick and stick,
mate. After game one, Queenslanders were leaving, leaving the ground with 20 minutes to go.
There's only 25,000 left with 10 minutes to go. They're all gone.
No. New South Wales, honestly, it's Tinder.
Yeah,
it's Tinder. If we don't get a result, we swipe left.
Oh!
Is that the right way? I'm not sure.
Oh, no. I think you're on Grindr, aren't you?
what are your thoughts, Trent?
Those are right. it is frustrating. I think, obviously, every player in the New South Wales team plays for their state, and when the state don't get behind them and back him out a bit, it gets very frustrating. It's not like the players go out there to lose. It's like I said, it's the biggest game of the year, and the players prepare for that. And if the result doesn't go our way, it is a bit upsetting that the whole state get upset. But in saying that too, so they should be. They want to see us win. They want to see us get the results. So it's a pretty tough question to answer. But it's a tough game, and you win or you lose.
So, Bez, you've been there quite a few times. So, on a day off, say, like a Friday, for you, like, who would you be hanging with? What would you do?
Oh,
I know you like your shopping and your clothes and that. you love that stuff.
I think most of the time I was in Origin, I spent a bit of time with Gow, and we used to like our training, like our recovery. On days off, we'll probably go for a coffee. And a big group of us will go for coffee too. So... we tick our boxes, what we needed to do for the body to get ourselves right for a big game coming up, and then we'd go spend some time together.
I think the blowtorch has been put on the preparation based on the performance, not so much the result. I think if New South Wales would have gone out there in game three, it was neck and neck all the way. They were right in the contest. They did themselves and the state proud. I think we walk away going, well, we were just beaten by an amazing Queensland side, or we gave it our best. I think the fact that New South Wales and a lot of the media have focused on the team and the result is because of the way that they performed, and they never really gave themselves an opportunity to win that game. So therefore, a lot of the focus goes on, well, how did it get to that? Like, what were you doing through the week? And I think that's why everyone's a little bit perplexed. How do you go into game one and be so dominant? What was the preparation in game one? We know that it changed a little bit in game two, and now we're hearing it changed a little bit in game three. So I think the performance actually then opens the doors for an investigation into the preparation.
The thing for me is, when I saw game one as a Queenslander, I was thinking, our time's up. I knew Queensland had given a red-hot crack in game two, but I think it helps when guys like, mate, Fifita's a good player, but he's perfect for us in the media because he came out and he said he's going to be better in game two. If you're a Queenslander, you're thinking, guys like Josh McGrath and that, thinking, okay, we got to stop this. And even a guy like Cam Smith, for him to put pressure on himself in game three. So when Fifita's given that the microphone and that audience, mate, we are listening a bit, but you got to back it up. And he's found it hard to back it up in Origin, And I see some people saying, mate, they wouldn't pick him in Origin again, mate. He's a good player, but he's just got to learn. Just play the game, win game two, and say whatever you want after that.
Well, the Maroons did a great job. They did their homework on him after game one. It was a dominant performance. He was man of the match, and then they essentially nullified him for the rest of the series. But, Tone, you talked about New South Wales fans and, the way that some New South Wales fans, there might be a perception that perhaps they can be a bit fickle. I think they're entitled to be when you've lost 11 out of the last 12 series. There's a generation of little kids who've only ever seen one series victory. And if they go out, like Gerd said, if they go out and they have a crack like they did in game two and they lose, they just get beat, then I think people accept that. But when they go out and they submit what by a lot of their own admissions was a subpar performance, well, then you're going to get the public lynching that we've seen over the course of the last 7 days.
I know, look, it's almost impossible, Trent, for you to answer, I guess. But I know there's a kind of a media Gus and there's a footy club Gus, Gould. And I love and admire Gus Gould and what he's got to say. But were you surprised at the idea that he openly said that he didn't want Penrith players involved going forward with New South Wales, given its culture?
I wasn't surprised at all. I think everyone knows that Gussie speaks his mind and he's a very passionate man about rugby league and he's very passionate about the Blues as well. And he speaks his mind, and that's how he feels. That's not how I feel. That's not how the players in the team feel. That's just how Phil Good feels about it. So, in my eyes, if I'm good enough to play Origin, I'll play Origin. And that's the way I feel. If we get picked, I'm pretty sure that no one's going to stop players in the team to play for their state. But he does have a point with a few things that he says. And he's a genius of the game. He's a bloke I respect a lot, and I learn a lot from Gussie. And everyone's entitled to their opinion. If you take it, you take it. You don't, you don't. But it's not a surprise to me that Gussie open-mindedly said what he had to say.
Yeah, I love listening to Gus, but it's funny because before the series started, he wanted Mez as captain and in the team, which, you know, is fair enough. And then by the end of the series, you know, young Nathan Cleary, he doesn't want any of these Panthers players involved. So I just couldn't get a read on what he wants, you know. So it was good enough at the start of the series, but not now.
It's funny, that whole culture discussion, isn't it? I mean, from my experience in a team environment, the culture is driven usually by the players holding each other accountable. And, look, a certain amount of that will come from the coaching and the staff. But I think if you leave it to other people, the people that aren't going to be on the field, when the chips are down, essentially you're looking in the wrong direction. And I think what Queensland really do, they do it at Melbourne and Storm, and it's those key guys, and they're a special group of guys, and they don't come along that often. But what they do is, you know, they hold each other accountable. They have a lot of respect for each other's performances as well. So the thought of them being at a pub on a Friday isn't about them. It's actually, is this the best thing for these other guys that for the last 6 weeks have busted their ass to get us in a position of being a decider? Not is this the best for us sitting here having a beer. It's not hurting our performance. We're 5 days out. We can have a few beers. But they think holistically about the group and the effort that it's taken to get there. And I think the culture is driven by those players and being accountable and taking responsibility for the whole of the team's actions and what's best to get that performance on that Wednesday night. So, and they're all little pieces, and you talk about, you know, the 1%ers, they're all just little things that build up, and Mez and Gal might have been out doing some extra training on a Friday, you know what I mean? So you don't all have to do the same thing, but what you all need to do is work to the common goal, which is getting the result, and sitting at the pub drinking beers on a Friday before a decider isn't working towards a common goal with the rest of the team.
No. I could relate to them, though, because certainly the performance on that Wednesday night drove me to drink.
Well, you're in Queensland, that's right. Yeah.
I was in Queensland, my friend. Look, plenty of things. We want to get to the Blues report. We'll get that amongst us. We'll talk in the couple of hours we still have. Just finally, Trent, today's game is crucial for you guys. We're talking about Nathan Cleary, everybody is, but on the other end, there's a young kid from the Titans called Ash Taylor who is playing pretty hot in that number seven.
He most definitely is. It's going to be a great game. Two young halves coming up against each other. They're both up for the Daly M Rookie of the Year last year. So it's going to be a very exciting game. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I wish I was out there with the boys and to get the job done. But I've got full belief and that they'll go out there and do the job at hand. It's a must-win game for both teams, so I'm excited to watch.
All right, go out and get in the sun. I know you've got the T-shirt and the shorts on. Warm yourself up. All the best with the injury recovery as well. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
See you, Mess.
There is Trent Merrin joining us right here on Saturday Triple M NRL, doing it for Bryden's Lawyers. Samari M there for you on a Saturday afternoon. Triple M NRL, we are at Pepper Stadium outside. If you haven't thought about it, just look outside your window right now. Stick your head out. Look what sort of a day you have in Sydney's beautiful west. Get yourself down to Pepper Stadium for a great game of 43 o'clock kickoff. You'll hear it, of course, course, right here on Triple M, where we are rocking the footy. All right, there was a game of footy last night, Newcastle and the Roosters. As I look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, Roosters 28 over Newcastle 4. They haven't won away, I think, since, 2015, Newcastle. That was in Melbourne, bizarrely. They've had one of those runs where things just go wrong. There was, again, another dodgy call, but they were never really in that game. I know you called Gerds.
Yeah, no, look, they started really well, Newcastle, and sort of watched. I've called both of their last games against Brisbane and that one last night against the Roosters, and they've actually come out, and you can tell, I was saying it during the call last night, they're actually really well coached because they come out and you can see that they've actually, they construct their game really well and they've got a plan and they actually stick to it, and they stick to it early, but it's just when they're under pressure, they sort of fall away, and they, I think with inexperience, they lack a little bit of leadership there, and then as soon as it hits the fan, they go to water, unfortunately. But they did. They started the game the first sort of 15 minutes. They had a majority of possession. They put on all their set pieces. They looked pretty sharp with the football. The end of their sets were really polished. They got repeat sets when they needed them, and they just. But the Roosters' defence, you got to give it credit. They were tested and they were really rock solid. And I think on the back of that, Newcastle just then lost confidence. They went into their shell. They scored sort of a breakout try, then the Roosters against the run of play, and then after that, they just sort of got a little bit of momentum. They weren't clinical. They weren't great. The Roosters, they probably should have put Newcastle away within the first half and gone in at halftime, maybe 18 points up. They didn't. They only went up with, I think, about 6 or 8 points lead, and it probably wasn't enough, but they just had the class and the quality in the second half to get the job done. But it wasn't one of the Roosters' best performances of the year. A few things they need to work on, but defensively, last night, I think Trent Robinson would be really happy.
You look at the players they were missing as well. Gerds, I reckon it does add a little bit of weight to the performance from the Chooks. No Jake Friend, he's so important, and obviously one of their co-captains. Their other co-captains missing as well in Boyd Cordner. Tone, I don't think he's going to be back next week either. Yeah, really? I think the Roosters are going to take a really safety-first approach with Boyd and just make sure that they get him cherry-ripe for the big, big end-of-season games. And then no Michael Gordon at fullback and young Connor Watson.
Pulled out late.
Yeah,
Connor
that's
Watson
right.
was good, wasn't he?
He was good, yeah.
So is he going to Newcastle?
He is going to Newcastle. No, he is. Oh. Look, there was a bit of a tug-of-war on between the Tigers and Newcastle, but the Knights have won that war, and he'll definitely be there. He'll play in the halves there next year.
I was gonna say, yeah.
It was good really to see the crowd there holding up the sign saying thanks to SKD. Yeah. So for Sean Kenny-Dowell, of course, playing his first game for the Knights after all those years and all those tries with the Roosters, went over and scored, which was terrific as well.
Well, he came to the Roosters as a Kiwi backpacker, Tane. He was a teenager. He literally came over on a holiday, and obviously he loved his footy, so he got a bit of a start. In the Roosters, at the Roosters, and look, he had a great career while he was there, played international footy. Obviously, he made a couple of bad decisions off the field, but he's paid the price now, and it's good to see him back playing footy.
Yeah, I saw he scored a try last night, and I saw him let one in, but he's got to get used to his new club, and I think he'll bring a lot of experience to those. It's a pretty young side, as we know, and I think I saw young Matadia got knocked out there with Blake Ferguson, so... To have that experience like him there, he's going to help those young blokes, I think, over the next couple of years.
Mitchell Pearce appears to always be under more pressure than anybody when New South Wales doesn't win in State of Origin. He took himself off for a little trip to Fiji, I think, after the third State of Origin. He came back and he just fits straight back in there, removing that team around the park beautifully. One great defensive play from him to stop a try-scoring movement. So, he looked like he was good to go.
There's so many different things to Mitchell's game that, and I think, at any one time when he gets it right, it all comes together for him. And last night you could tell he just wanted to go out there and defend really strongly. 34 tackles, a couple of try savers, and then on the back of that, sort of he didn't do a lot with the football early on. They didn't have a lot of ball, and his kicking game wasn't great. But then on the back of the defence and his just involvement and his willingness to get into the contest, by the back end of the game he was sort of the best player on the field, set up a couple of tries, and it came to him. And I think that comes with experience for halves as well, that can try and force their hand early. Things weren't happening for early. He didn't force it. So you know what he did? He just concentrated on kick, chase, defending really strongly. And then those other parts of his game came, and it just showed how experienced and where he is in his career at the moment.
I'll tell you what, geez, he had a good suntan, Gerds, after a couple of days over in Fiji. But I want to ask you this, right? Because I just think it's grossly unfair the way that he is consistently held up as the scapegoat and the blame guy for the New South Wales Blues performances if New South Wales doesn't win the series that he's playing in. How could he possibly, of last Wednesday night, playing behind a forward pack that was never, ever on the front foot and just getting carved up through the middle, how can he ever win that game.
Yeah, look, there's not much. I think probably could have taken a little bit more ownership in game two, probably a little bit more responsibility to a degree there. You know, those are the guys that, are in, you know, in those clutch moments, need to just get the footy like a Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk. They'll get it from dummy half and they'll kick it. You know, they'll do the most basic. It'll be the most basic basic instruction, but they'll follow it and they'll get a result out of it. And I think they could have done that in game two. But in game three, I mean, they had absolutely no momentum. They're on the back foot the whole night. And look, I think with halves in general, I mean, who gets man of the match? Every game, every big game, every Clive Churchill medal, every State of Origin, who gets the man of the match awards? It's always a half, isn't it? Or it's hooker. A hooker, or it's sometimes a fullback. So, I mean, they get all the accolades usually when they win. Unfortunately, when they lose, they feel the weight of it as well. And that's just part of their role as the key playmaker. And that's just the way it is. It might be unfair, but you understand the game really well. And you can sort of see, you know, where it went wrong for New South Wales. But most people that don't have that sort of knowledge of the game, just follow it and just think, oh, well, the playmaker should have done better. And I think that's, he just wears a lot of that. And I think he's over that now, to be honest. I think he knows now. He's got expectations on himself. And I don't think he was overly disappointed with a loss, but I don't think, you know, he'd be overly disappointed in his performance individually because he didn't have any opportunities.
I think it'd still hurt him because you're coming through, well, they're a pretty fair side Queensland, but like when people talk about going in a different direction, there's a couple of halfbacks they talk about, and they're saying throw Nathan Cleary in. Look, I think he's been hardly done by as well. Everyone thinks at NRL level that Mitchell can dominate, but they can't dominate at that that Origin level, so it's unfair.
Another person who, of course, was under pressure last night after what happened in State of Origin 3 is Blake Ferguson, who, along with Josh Dugan, did spend some time at the Lennox Point Hotel. Terrific part of the world, by the way. Should get yourself there. They've now got little marks on the chairs that says, you know,
really
this is where Blake sat, this is where Josh sat. There you get, you know, a couple of bets for free if you sit in those chairs. It's a terrific idea. Trying to get tourists along. Yeah. I just think what they're doing for tourism in regional areas is absolutely brilliant. Anyway, he spoke to Triple M after the game last night.
Blake, obviously difficult week, I gather, but nice to score that try tonight and have a win.
Yeah, I think the boys had a pretty good effort there in the middle and gave a little bit of joy to us boys on the outside. And yeah, I thought we stuck to our process throughout the whole game there.
Tell us about your week. How's it been?
Oh, it's been all right. I guess what's been said in the papers, I'm glad that everything's come out and the truth is there, so that's it.
Up to you, boys.
Yeah, Blake, congratulations. Coming up against your old teammate, Sean Kenny Dowd, tonight. How did that feel, and was it an enjoyable week?
Yeah, it was. I think Skizzy's a legend, and, you know, he's been a good stalwart for this club, the Roosters, and unfortunate circumstances to move on, but wish him all the best in his new club and in his new journey, so, yeah.
Blake, can I just ask this before we put this to bed? If it's not Josh and yourself, do you think we're talking about this week?
What's that? Sorry.
That was the drink you had last Friday. If it wasn't you and Josh, do you think we would have even talked about it this week?
Regardless of whoever it was, I think it was always going to be talked about. So hopefully we can put it to bed now and move forward and talk about how good Queensland played in that last game.
I think
they deserve a congratulations for the series that they played and hopefully we can win it next year. I guess.
If you had your time over, would you do it again?
Probably not, in hindsight.
All right. Well, good on you. Thank you for joining us, and well played tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Blake Ferguson speaking last night on Triple M after that win for the Roosters, 28-4 over the Knights. I don't talk about how good Queensland played at all. I think that's wrong advice. We've got plenty to come to. We're going to speak to Luke Lewis, who, of course, has now joined the 300 Club, has become the 28th man to do so with his performance for the Sharkies. We'll get to him just after 1 o'clock. And Sam Bremner at Jullaroo, and who will play for New South Wales against Queensland tomorrow. This is Saturday Triple M NRL, doing it for Bryden's Lawyers.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.
You're concerned how easily New South Wales people fall out of love with their State of Origin team. It's so bizarre, isn't it? We love them for the game one. We fell out of love just after halftime of game two. Honestly, it's Tinder.
Yeah,
it's Tinder. If we don't get a result, we swipe left.
Oh!
Is that the right way? I'm not sure.
This is Saturday Arvo Footy heading towards the 3 o'clock kickoff here at Panthers. The Panthers taking on the Titans. We are in front of Pepper Stadium. Jump down and say good day. Before you head into the stadium, we are going to thank Coates Hire, of course, who's helped us out, giving you a chance at winning $100,000. Visit coateshire.com.au/leaderboard challenge for details and terms. Next, it is women in league round. Sam Bremner, a star for New South Wales. She plays in the state of origin against Queensland tomorrow. We'll chat with her next. Kings of Leon for you on a Saturday afternoon, and Kings of Rugby League sitting at this table right here, right now. We are at Panthers. We are, in fact, out front of Pepper Stadium. Drop in, say good day before you go in. The Panthers taking on the
and
Titans.
And grab yourself, and grab yourself a cheese toasty from the Cheese Toasty Boys. They just ran a couple in.
Yeah. Who's your mate? Blackie.
Blackie came and dropped in a couple of cheese toasties. Yeah, thanks for that, Blackie.
Yeah, what about the Mayor of Penrith?
I know.
They just hear him on the airwaves, and the next thing, out comes Blackie with four toasties.
Well,
we used to get
steak and chicken and
Australia's whole steakhouse is right across the road. Why haven't they brought something home before you guys? Look at
they probably heard you're a vegetarian, Tony.
Steakhouse. I can see it.
It probably knows we're a winner. You've got to cut back a bit, Tony.
I want to get some trotter come over from the Paceway over just to have a ride by for you guys. That would be good. Yeah, no, there's a Harry's Cafe de Wheels in front of Panthers over there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they come in?
Well, they did. Who's brought over a pie, but just one?
Yeah.
Just one for him.
That's all about it.
Anyway. Tone had a sausage roll as well.
Yeah. Did you really?
Tone did.
My bloody temple. It is Women in League round. There's a huge game of footy on tomorrow before the Dragons and Manly. It is New South Wales taking on Queensland. And what a great pleasure now to welcome Jillaroo star and New South Wales star, Sam Bremner. G'day, Sam.
Hello, guys. How are we going?
Very, very well, thank you. Wish you were here. It's beautiful at Penrith. But of course, you're in huge preparation. We'll be eating Harry's Cafe de Wheels gear in front of your big game tomorrow. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, actually. It's been a massive week. I was abnormally nervous on Monday morning. I'm usually pretty cool, calm and collected the week of a big game. But it's sort of the opposite this time around. On Monday, I was very nervous. And today, I'm really quite relaxed and just ready to go out there tomorrow and play.
I noticed a story today in the Daily Telegraph saying that you had looked at the reaction from the New South Wales players after State of Origin, that despair in their faces, and James Maloney and, of course, all the others after that loss. And that's a great motivator for you.
Oh, definitely. I think any sports person or anyone with some sort of dream or goal, they give up so much to try and achieve it. And, yeah, exactly. When I was watching the boys' reaction, in particular James Maloney, when he came off the field and they were trying to interview him, he just, like, was sort of dumbfounded and he just looked so saddened by the effort and the result that they didn't get. And I'm going to do everything in my power. And I know my teammates will not feel that way.
Hey, Sam, Wendell Saylor. Mate, well done on your new role there as a Dragons ambassador. I know you've been doing some stuff for the NRL for a few years now, and it's good to see the girls get some recognition, yourself and Kezia Yaps, the Dragons ambassadors there.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome, Wendell. The Dragons obviously have a really good community program, and I've always loved what they do in the community. And when they came in and approached us, they sort of said they want to help us in a productive way. And Kezia and I both like doing things in the community. And, you know, because there isn't a girls NRL league at the moment, they said, you know, we can't form a team and give you a contract because there's no competition. So we're going to help you how we can. And that's getting us out into the community, what we love, helping the community and getting the support from the Dragons along the way.
Sam, how good would that be, though, if you could get a competition up and running, given the success of the AFLW, the competition just went gangbusters?
Oh, it would be an awesome thing if we had an NRL competition for the women, but I've now been involved in rugby league for 8 years, and in those 8 years, I can't believe how far we've come. So a lot of people do ask me that, you know, do you wish this? Do you wish there was an NRL for the girls? Do you wish you were playing alongside the boys in Origin? And although ultimately, yes, I would love that, I'm still very grateful for how far it's come because I'm lucky enough to be able to watch how far it's grown in 8 years.
Sam, what about this game today out at Pepper Stadium, the matchup between two of the young guns, Nathan Cleary and Ash Taylor?
Oh, I'm pretty excited to watch that. I know the girls are too. We were talking about that last night. I think Cleary is just an awesome player to watch. They both are, really, and I can't wait to watch them and find some inspiration off the young halves and maybe take some tips into tomorrow's game.
Sam, you spoke about Origin and the ability or the opportunity to play alongside the men. What about this World Cup at the end of the season? You guys will be playing there sort of in the same format as the guys in a World Cup. Does that excite you, the opportunity to play against the other teams around the world?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the excitement of just being able to make the Australian team the pinnacle of any sport is an awesome opportunity. And now that goes with it, we're going to be in a campaign alongside the men. And, you know, those men are the people that we watch and aspire to play like, despite our gender difference. So, if I got to go into camp and I was in a campaign with someone like Cooper Cronk or Cameron Smith, that's just like a dream come true. When I first started playing footy, that's absolutely unheard of. And I still pinch myself when I hear things like that going around, and I can't wait. First step is to win Origin tomorrow, and the next step's World Cup.
Hey, Sam, talking about that test match back in Canberra, it happens through the best of them. We see Nadal hit his head a couple of weeks ago. Also, Billy Slater, he rolled his ankle running back. He's done a million times. You missed that test match because what happened to you with your injury?
Oh, well, you know what? I was going into that test match so fresh. I'd been working so hard, and I'm very, very passionate about representing my country. And, you know, everything was fine, no problems. And we went into a captain's run. It was a line dropout. So, you know, captain's run, you're running at about probably 40, 50%, nothing too harsh before the game. I went to catch a high ball and I tripped on a gigantic blade of grass. I don't know what I tripped on, maybe my feet, and just fell over, hit my head in the wrong spot and knocked myself straight out, and therefore was ruled out of the game, even though, you know, I had no symptoms afterwards and I felt quite good, which was also the really frustrating part. When I got told I couldn't play, it wasn't like, you know, I was limping around and I couldn't use my body properly. I absolutely felt wonderful and I was ready to go out there, but just, you know, complying to all the NRL rules, I couldn't play.
Oh, Sam, that is a great story. Sad, but great story.
It's absolutely hard to do. If you try and trip over your own feet and knock yourself out, it's hard to do.
I will. I'll save it about 11 o'clock tonight and I'll do that. Don't you worry.
She's also a personal trainer, got her own personal training business, so she's a very good professional.
Sam Bremner, all the best for tomorrow and beyond. Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks, Sam. I hope if you're watching, you're wearing blue tomorrow.
Yeah, go Queensland. You know what happens, Sam. Go Queensland.
We will be. Thanks so much, Sam. There she is, Sam Bremner, playing tomorrow.
Mate, watch her play. If you're a young girl, watch her play. She's like the Billy Slater.
Is she the fullback, is she?
She's a fullback. Yeah. She's an absolute gun.
And chat with Samantha Leisha as well later in the show. Next up, though, we will speak to Luke Lewis. 300 games in the NRL. What a result for that man last night. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future.